Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
You're on ABC Radio National, the scientific network, with plenty of other goodies as well, like music. Einstein on the Beach, played occasionally in the science show. Hello again, I'm Robin Williams. But the other energy story which broke a week ago, as you may have seen on ABC television in the 7:30 report, was Dr. David Mills, a Canadian who'd been here for 30 years, developing promising solar technology. He packed his bags in frustration and left. Why the exit and why the dudgeon? Here's the Science Show's David Fisher.
David Mills' solar technology turns water into high-temperature steam. That steam drives generators, producing electricity to feed power grids. He claims his solar technology could provide enough power for the whole country. David Mills is not the only one confident in his technology. He's attracted the big money of Silicon Valley and has left Australia to put it all into practice. So why hasn't he been able to do it here? Well, for Prime Minister John Howard, it's as if solar doesn't exist. Here's the Prime Minister baiting the opposition in Parliament on Tuesday.
Let me say to the climate change purists or the climate change fanatics on the other side, let me say to them, the cleanest and greenest energy source of all is the one you won't look at, and that's nuclear power.
And speaking to Tony Jones on ABC Television's Late Line this week, the Prime Minister rejected solar outright.
You can't run power stations on the Australian experience on wind and solar. You either run them on the way they're run now, it's predominantly coal or gas or sometimes hydro, or you run them in the future with nuclear. Nuclear becomes more viable economically as the cost of running coal-fired power stations increases with the adoption of cleaner technology.
Those supporting the use of renewable energy say for any green power to take off, the first thing required is a pricing structure for electricity where polluters pay when they pollute. And the government has just released a discussion paper on carbon trading. But it's all too slow and too late for David Mills. So what does his technology look like? David Mills.
The mirror is about 12 metres long, each mirror, and there are hundreds and hundreds of these mirrors in a typical installation. So a standard unit we'll have is actually a 300 metre long unit, which will produce about 5 megawatts of thermal energy. And this will have towers about 10 metres high off the ground, and underneath those long towers you'll find steam pipes, which we heat. The technology works, and we've tested it for the utility Macquarie Generation in the first one up in Liddell in New South Wales. It's now been gone through very carefully by a number of people in the United States and also in Europe, and everybody's in agreement that this is a very, very low-cost way of generating solar thermal power. We put down rows of mirrors, and they're in effect rows of steam pipes, and the steam pipes can be connected up to large header systems or large pipes which convey the steam to a central point. That system is modular. We can put down any number of rows, and we can continue to build the plant in size so that we can run very, very large turbines. And in fact, our solar technology can probably run the biggest size turbines today of any solar technology. We can power Australia, and we've done a study already of New South Wales showing that probably around 8 reasonable-sized plants could power the whole of the state.
But the sun doesn't shine 24 hours a day. What about at night or when it's cloudy?
We are actively developing storage systems, quite simple ones based around what we call pressurized water, which holds the energy over 24 hours and can be flashed to steam at any time we require it. So it makes the plant very, very versatile. In fact, when you think of it further and think of it as a component in a big energy system with wind and photovoltaics and other sources which don't have storage, this storage becomes actually very, very important because it can not only keep your energy source on track in supplying the energy, but can help the other ones flatten out their energy delivery.
So how does David Mills explain the Australian government's approach to our energy future? Are we too complacent?
Hardly. We have too much of the conventional form of energy. I think if we'd been energy starved, we would have looked at these things earlier and seen solar as the natural energy source. But when you've got a large amount of uranium to dig up and an even much larger amount of coal to dig up, and you've been doing that for a long time, you think, well, that's the natural scheme of things. And if you look at the energy resource that we have the energy resource for billions of people in this country. We can export DC electricity up into Asia. We can export solar fuels from the Northwest Shelf, just as we export methane today. All of those things require the vision, though. And if you've got these other existing industries with people working there in front of you, it's hard to see that vision. The United States and Europe are running up against it. Europe possibly faces severe climate change. The United States has got a foreign policy which depends on oil and has all sorts of other problems and severe environmental problems also. So they are considering their options very, very much more seriously than Australia, which has enough coal to last for hundreds of years if it chose to do so. I think if a country has to consider these things fairly, then they will look at it much more closely.
David Mills and his backers are responding to the urgency. They're working fast.
We wanted to build very large plants, and the only way we could do this quickly is to abandon the concept of what's called organic growth, where you build, say, a 5-megawatt plant, and then a 10-megawatt plant, then a 20, then a 40, then an 80, and gradually work up. And each plant takes maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years to do. So, you know, in 20 years, you might get up to a big plant. But people overseas have realized, no, we can't wait that long. We can build a small one, but essentially they're the same as the big ones. However, we can mobilize the huge amount of money that's required for these plants. And these plants are billion-dollar plants. That's what we're talking about. So in order to do that quickly and so that people can spend this amount of money, we have to get rid of that risk in the technology, demonstrate medium-sized plants very quickly, and then go straight to very large plants.
And driving the urgency is climate change. Politicians are slowly accepting the idea, but scientists like David Mills say they've been staring at the evidence for decades.
I was talking to the Senate about it in 1988, and everybody in my field has known about this problem for, you know, 2 decades and more. But it has come to a head recently. I'm very uncomfortable, and one of the reasons which people don't really talk about is that when you have a roughly chaotic system like the weather, and it changes from one state to another in physics, I'm a physicist, you often find a period of oscillation between the two states. Well, what are you seeing this year? You're seeing strange weather with very, very extremes of weather, very cold in the United States, followed by very warm and shirt sleeves in New York, things that you've never seen before. It makes me uncomfortable. The Gulf Stream stopped for a short time last year. That makes me uncomfortable. So the sooner that we can solve the fundamental problem, which is causing global warming, the faster we'll get to a resolution of this. There's a mood saying we need a lot of different energy resources, and I think that's true to some extent, but the rules have changed, and the rules are that we have to have things that are big enough to do the job, and they have to be extremely, extremely clean. No carbon pollution whatsoever. Nuclear has problems. If we adopt the same technology we've got now, it runs out of fuel before we've even started, practically, in about 50 years. We can operate at the same rate in 50 years. All the fuel, even the warhead fuel, if you convert it back into fuel, is gone, you know. So that's not really an option. That's not serious. That's just trying to support a local industry that wants to be supported at the moment. But it's not really looking at the problem. Carbon sequestration looks to be far away. I think the ABC ran a program not too long ago showing that it's unlikely to even start seriously before 2020. If you look at the ramp up that's required, that's far too late. We've got to start now.
David Mills, speaking just prior to his departure for the United States. And thanks to the 7:30 report. Well, joining me now is Rick Brazale, Executive Director of the Business Council for Sustainable Energy. Rick, what's your reaction to David Mills' departure?
Well, in some respect, I'm not surprised, because we've seen a stalling in renewable energy investment over the last few years. And in response to that stalling, a number of companies have actually left the country.
Why do you think he had to leave?
The Commonwealth Government introduced, at the time, it was an innovative renewable energy program back in 2000, but the target was only modest. We saw quite a bit of investment activity, particularly in wind and bioenergy, but because it was a modest target, it was filled pretty quickly, and there's been very little activity over the last few years. And what that's meant for companies such as his is he hasn't had a market to sell his innovative product, and so he's going to have to look elsewhere. And we've seen countries like the European Union have got quite aggressive renewable energy targets, so they're going to be much more welcoming of someone like David.
So it's the targets that drive the market.
That's always the case, because business will only respond to any market drivers that are in place. And in the case of renewable energy, Australia is currently sitting on a renewable energy target of around 11%. by, say, 2020, whereas countries like China have got much more aggressive target of 15%, and they've got a lot more investment taking place, and they're a much bigger market.
David Mills is not the first to go, is he?
There have been a number of others, including some other solar companies and also some companies interested in bioenergy. A number of those have gone, particularly to Europe, and we're also seeing a number of other companies looking at doing renewable energy projects in developing countries such as the Philippines, such as South America.
Is there anything else? Is there a range of factors that need to come into play to hold on to people like David Mills?
Look, there will always be a range of factors, but the core fundamental point is if you don't have a market for your product, you're really going to go elsewhere. If we don't have a vibrant market, then you're not going to get the financial institutions interested, you're not going to get the investors, and what companies will do, they'll go overseas where the money and the capital and the market is in place.
Rick Brazzale from the Australian Business Council for Sustainable Energy.
David Fisher with that report.